I want to take as my text this morning the first verse of Genesis chapter 18, where we read, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." And I want to speak to you this morning on a meeting with the Lord in the home. Verse 1 records for us an incident in the life of Abraham, the father of the faithful, the friend of God, and the father of the faith. It was a time when Abraham was visited by the Lord himself. You'll see that at the start of verse 1. "And the Lord appeared unto him." That's an interesting phrase, because if you study the life of Abraham and you mark closely, you will discover that his life is marked by a series of divine visitations or a series of divine appearances when the Lord appeared unto him. That phrase, that word "appeared," is used numerous times in the life of Abraham. For example, it's used in Acts chapter 7 and the verse 2 when Stephen, preaching before he was stoned to death by the Sanhedrin, he said, "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia." That we might describe as the appearance for conversion. The Lord appeared to Abraham, revealed himself, and it was at that point in time, when Abraham was 75 years of age, or thereabouts, that he was converted unto the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to Abraham when he dwelt in Mesopotamia before he left to journey to Canaan at the call of God. When he dwelt in Mesopotamia, the Lord appeared to him and he revealed who he was. He revealed the gospel of Christ. And Abraham at that point in time became a believer in the true God of heaven and earth and a follower of him. That was the appearance unto conversion. But then in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, the phrase is used again. And if you turn to that passage, you'll read there, "The Lord appeared unto Abram." Now, by this time, Abraham had been called to leave Mesopotamia, the Ur of the Chaldees, and he journeyed through the desert, and he'd come first to Haran, and then he'd made his way south into Canaan, into the land we know today as Israel. And it was then, it says, "The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land." That's the appearing of the covenant, because God entered into a covenant with Abraham, an agreement, a promise that to Abraham and to Abraham's seed after him, he would give the land of Israel. He made a covenant promise that the land would be given to Abraham and his seed, and he fulfilled that in the days of Joshua. And ever since, that land is the land by divine right, the descendants of Abraham. So there was the appearance for conversion. There was the appearance of the covenant. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, you'll read of that phrase again. "The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, walk before me and be thou perfect." That's the appearance on the consecration. He's calling Abraham to live that sincere and complete life before him. He's calling them to the consecrated life. The appearance for conversion. The appearance, the covenant. The appearance unto consecration. But in our text, this is another appearance of the Lord. The Lord appeared, actually appeared, took human form. We'll see that in a moment. And appeared unto Abraham with two angels who also were in human form. They appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door to in the heat of the day. This is the appearance for communion. The Lord visited Abraham to meet with him, to talk to him, to spend time with him, to feed with him, and to fellowship with him. And what a pattern for the life of every Christian. The Lord reveals himself to us when we're converted, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. He reveals himself that he will give to us not the land of Israel, but he will give to us the heavenly Canaan as our eternal inheritance, the land of Canaan, the heavenly Canaan. He comes to us and he calls us to a consecrated life, and he meets with us. He appears to us. Oh, not physically the way he did to Abraham, but he appears. He visits us that he might commune with us, fellowship with us. We might enjoy and know his presence and his blessing. The Lord appeared to commune and to meet with Abraham. And there are some tremendous lessons from this visitation. The Lord appearing in human form with two angels to meet with Abraham in the tent door there at Mamre. And there are lessons from it that I believe we should consider this morning. A meeting with the Lord. There are four lessons. The first one is quite brief. I want you to consider the person the Lord met with. The Lord appeared unto him. And it's the word him that we're drawing your attention to. And that's Abraham. And I'm highlighting the fact that he met with Abraham because, you see, there's another believer in this chapter. He's mentioned later on in the chapter. In fact, Abraham is praying for him. Doesn't mention him specifically by name, but he's referred to as the righteous. When he prays, "For the sake of the righteous, wilt thou not destroy the city of Sodom?" And that man is Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot was a believer. The Bible tells us he was a righteous man. The Bible tells us his soul was justified. When you come to the epistle of Peter, you read those things about Lot. But as you read this chapter, you discover that the Lord did not appear unto Lot. Look at verse 1. The Lord appeared unto him, that's unto Abraham. It tells us in verse 2, Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. One was the Lord. The other two were two angels. You look at verse 22, it says, verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went to Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. At the end of this engagement or appearance of the Lord to Abraham, Abraham stood and prayed before the Lord, but the two angels went down to Sodom. And look at chapter 19 in the verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. It was the Lord and two angels who came to visit Abraham. But when that event was finished, the Lord sent the two angels to Sodom, but he did not go to Sodom to meet with Lot. What a contrast. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was a consummate pilgrim. His eyes were on the eternal city. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose maker and builder is God. He was not living primarily for the things of time, for this world and for the things of this world. He was living for eternity. His eye was on the eternal city, the eternal prize, the eternal home. He was a separated man. looking for the eternal reward and the eternal city and eternal life, he abstained from all appearance of evil. He wouldn't take the shoe latchet from the king of Sodom when he offered it to him as a reward for rescuing the king of Sodom from Chedorlaomer and the five kings. He rejected it. He said he wouldn't take it. He would have nothing to do with Sodom and all of its sin and all of its compromise and all of its wickedness. He was a separated man. He was a holy man. He was a man of faith. He was a man who lived for the world to come. How different was Lot? Lot was the compromised believer. Due, I believe, to family influence, he went down and he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then he dwelt in Sodom, and then he engaged with the men of Sodom until he just mingled and mixed with them as if he was one of them. He was the compromised man. He was the carnal man. He was mixed and contaminated by the sin of Sodom. And isn't there a stark contrast that the Lord came to meet with Abraham, but he sent his angels to rescue Lot? While both were saved, only one enjoyed close and intimate fellowship with the Lord. Only one had the Lord revealed to him what was going to take place to Sodom and Gomorrah. And it wasn't Lot. It was Abraham. The lesson is very simple, dear child of God. If you want to know and experience God's best, if you want to know the nearness and fellowship of the Lord, and Him speaking to your heart and teaching you, instructing you, meeting with you, and manifesting His presence in your life, then you need to be that separated man or woman. You need to be the man or woman living the holy life. You need to be the man or woman who separates from the sins of the age and stands apart from them. For blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the man or the woman the Lord comes to commune with in the home place. And that's the man or woman who will know the nearness of the Lord in their life. The person, the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abraham. I only sent the angels to rescue Lot from Sodom. But then, secondly this morning, I want you to notice the place where the Lord appeared unto Abraham. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Mamre was just a few miles from Hebron in the land of Israel, or Canaan as it was in Abraham's day. The word Mamre is from a Hebrew word meaning strength or vigor. And why was it called that? Where did it derive the name from? Well, if you have a margin in your Bible, you will see that the word plains, the plains of Mamre, could be translated the oaks of Mamre. Mamre was a place where there were many great oak trees planted. That's why Abraham pitched his tent there. There was shelter. There was safety. There was security under the oak trees, because they were so strong and large and gave good shelter. And that's why it derived its name. Mamre means strength or vigor, and it was given that name because of all the oak trees that were planted there. And when the Lord met Abraham, he met him under the oak tree. Do you see it there in verse 4? Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. These are Abraham's words to the Lord, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Look at verse 8. It says, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Abraham's tent was pitched under the tree, under the mighty oak tree, there in the plains of Mamre. Brethren and sisters, the tree in the Bible is always symbolic of Calvary, always symbolic of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and 24, who his own self, speaking of the Lord Jesus, his own self, the Lord himself, bare our sins in his own body to the tree. The tree is a reference to the cross. Where do we derive our strength for the Christian life? Where do we receive vigor and zeal and strength, shelter and security for the Christian life? It's under the shadow of Calvary. It's from the cross work of Christ. And it's only on the basis of the work of the cross that we can commune with and have fellowship and meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the place we meet him. The old hymn speaks about redemption ground. Redemption ground, the ground of peace. Redemption ground, the ground of hope, the place of communion. And it's only on redemption ground, because of the cross, because of the blood sacrifice, because of the work of the cross, that we can commune with the Lord. Remember what the Lord said to Moses in the days when the tabernacle was being built? He said of the holy place, "There will I meet with thee." And it was when the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled on the mercy seat that God met with the high priest on the Day of Atonement. It was on the grounds of the blood sacrifice. That's the grounds on which we meet with the Lord. And if you want to know his presence and his blessing, you must come by the way of the cross. If you want to sup with him and commune with him, you must come by the way of the cross. But notice something else about this place. Not only is it mentioned as the place of the plains of Mamre, but we might say it was the home place. Abraham met with the Lord in the home, because it tells us, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Abraham dwelt in tabernacles and tents. He was looking for the eternal city. He had no permanent abiding place in this world. And he's a picture of the pilgrim. The tent was his home, and it was there the Lord appeared to him and came to him and met with him. That should encourage us at a time such as this, when we can't get to the Lord's house. Because the Lord met with Abraham, not in the public place, not at the altar, but in the home place. The Lord has promised particularly and especially to meet with his people in the public place of worship. He has appointed his people to gather publicly on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, for the breaking of bread, for fellowship, for continuing in the apostles' doctrine, and for prayer. He said to Moses in the Old Testament, I referred to a little while ago there, speaking about the tabernacle, the public place of worship in the Old Testament, "There I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat." This idea of the Lord communing, fellowshipping, meeting with in a very special and intimate and a real way with his people. He said he would commune with them above the mercy seat. And in the tabernacle, in the Old Testament times, the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of God, it rested over the mercy seat. It rested over the most holy place. And there God met with his people. It's teaching us that God meets in a special way when we gather publicly. And we should, under normal circumstances, be in the public place of worship as often as possible and as much as possible. But there are times whenever the believer can't come to the house of the Lord. David spoke of one of those times in Psalm 42 when he was hunted by Saul like the roe or the deer. Said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. He was like the hart that was being hunted. He was like the deer that was being hunted down by Saul. And speaking about the house of the Lord, he said, when shall I come and appear before God? He remembered the time he went with the multitude on the holy day to the house of God, but he was troubled and he was perplexed because he couldn't get to the house of the Lord. And he asked the question, when shall I come and appear before God? And that's maybe the question you're asking at the minute. You miss God's house on the Lord's day. You miss being in the public prayer meeting. You miss the fellowship of the saints. You're asking, when shall I come and appear before God? We pray that soon we'll be back together again in Bethany. Or if you're tuning in from elsewhere, that you'll be back to the usual place where you worship with the saints of the Lord. But listen, don't be downcast. Don't be downcast. Because though you can't come to the house of God at a time like this, like Abraham, you can meet the Lord in the tent door. You can meet the Lord in the home place. Abraham, it tells us there, he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. In the Middle East, this is still the custom. In some countries, they have the middle section of the day. I know in Spain, they talk, is it the siesta in the middle of the day? They take a break in the middle of the day because the sun, it's so warm in the summer months, they don't work during the hottest part of the day. And they go home to relax. They go home to rest. And Abraham, in the heat of the day, he's got alone. He's sitting on his own. Sarah isn't there. She's in another part of the tent. Abraham's alone. He's in the tent door for shelter. And he's alone. And it's then the Lord met with him. Doesn't that remind us of the words of the Savior in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, when you go into the closet, close the door. There should be a time whenever we get a quiet place in the home and we shut our other loved ones out and we shut ourselves in and we meet with God. Child of God, you set that time aside day by day and particularly on the Lord's Day. Tune into the services and pray that the Lord will grant to you the tent door experience of Abraham. That the Lord will come and appear to you. He won't appear in a vision or a physical form, but he'll appear by a spirit in your soul, and he'll speak to you through the Word of God and draw your heart near to him, and you'll have that experience of Revelation 3:20. You'll sup with him and he with you. Oh, may the Lord meet with you in your home at this present time. We've considered the person the Lord met with. We've considered the place. Let me come thirdly to mention the purpose of this meeting. We could mention many reasons why the Lord met with Abraham. He would fellowship with him. He would talk with him. They would feast together. Abraham made the Lord a meal. Isn't that a marvel and a mystery and a miracle? The Lord came down. Human form, and the angels and the Lord, they feasted upon that meal that Sarah made for them. They came to fellowship, they came to feast, but primarily the Lord came to reveal a message. He had a message for Abraham. My friends, he's a message for you. He's a message for us all in this generation in which we live. He's a message for his children. He's a message for humanity, society at large. God is a speaking God, and he comes near to give us a message from himself. What an interesting message he had for Abraham. The verses that we read, verses 1 to 22, really relate the entire message, and we don't have the time this morning to deal with every verse, but we can divide it into three sections. There's three aspects of this message. And when you put them all together, my, they're not only personal in relation to Abraham and Sarah, but they're a picture of the gospel. There was a message, first of all, about a son. Verse 10. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. We'll not mention that Sarah was what we would term earwigging into the conversation. She was listening on behind the tent door. She heard the message and Abraham heard the message. The Lord had promised a number of years ago, the Lord had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. And yet now Sarah was old. She was past the natural age of childbearing. Abraham was old too. And the Lord mentions and he reaffirms the promise. Sarah shall have a son. Isaac is a type and a picture of Christ. He was the promised son. He was the son of supernatural birth. For the Lord did a miracle that Isaac would be conceived. He was conceived of natural generation, but nonetheless there was a miracle involved. And he was the son who was sacrificed on Mount Moriah. Remember, the Lord told Abram to take him in chapter 22 and offer him up as a sacrifice unto him. And just as Abram's about to bring down the knife upon Isaac, the Lord tells him to stop when there was a ram caught in the thicket. Isaac's a picture of Christ. When the Lord comes to meet with us, draws near to our souls, to speak to us, to fellowship with us, he always points our attention to the Son. The Son who was promised from before the world began. The Son who was born of supernatural birth, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The Son who was sacrificed at Calvary. He would have us turn our eyes upon Jesus to look full in His wonderful face, for He's the answer to all of our needs, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. It was a message about the Son. There was a message particularly for Sarah. Sarah listened in. And then Sarah doubted the word of the Lord, for it tells us in verse 13 to 15, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Sarah's laugh was a laugh of unbelief. Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Abraham laughed a laugh of faith in a previous chapter, but Sarah laughed in unbelief. How can I have a child? It's the laugh of unbelief. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah denied, of course, in verse 15. The Lord gave that gentle rebuke. He just looked and he said, nay. Thou didst laugh. The message for Sarah was a rebuke for her unbelief and an encouragement for her to believe the promise of the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord does when He comes alongside? He encourages us to faith. You may not be a Christian. What's the message for you? To believe the promise of the Son. Child of God, if you are a Christian, the message for you is this: to believe the promises of the gospel and continue to believe them to be worked out in your own life. Message of faith. There was a message about a son. There was a message for Sarah. That was about faith. And then there was a message about Sodom. Verse 20 and 21, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. He says, will I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? Abraham, I came down to meet with you, but I came down to view and behold the sin of Sodom. And if it is as I know it to be, then judgment will come upon Sodom. It will be destroyed for its sin. It was a message about Sodom, judgment for sin. Men and women, you put those three things together and you have a picture and presentation of the gospel. The Lord communed with Abraham about the son of promise who would be sacrificed. He communed and he rebuked Sarah for her unbelief, and he exhorted her to faith. And he spoke about Sodom and how it would be destroyed in judgment for its rebellion against God and its immorality and wickedness. That's the message of the gospel. There is judgment for sin, but Christ died for our sins upon the cross, and all who look to Him in faith and have that personal salvation shall have everlasting life and be delivered from that destruction. Oh, when the Lord meets with us, yes, there's a personal message for our souls. He speaks to us and communes with us, but He always points us to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might look unto it and trust in Him to be delivered from coming judgment. That was the purpose of His appearing unto Abraham. One final thing. It was not only the person that He met with, it was not only the place that He met with him and the purpose that He met him for. Notice the prayer that was offered. Verse 22. The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. That's the two angels. They've turned from Abraham. There at Hebron, they're going southeast toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And you read on to the end of this chapter, you read one of the greatest prayers in all of the Bible, certainly in the Old Testament, where Abraham interceded with the Lord for Sodom and Gomorrah and for the righteous in that city, that the Lord would bring them out and the Lord would spare the city for the sake of the righteous. What a prayer it was. But I close with this thought, and I want to press it home to your heart. When the Lord comes down to commune with our soul, when the Lord comes to meet with His people and He reveals His will and He reveals the message of the gospel and impresses it upon our heart, the promises thereof, it drives the child of God to prayer. It stirs us to prayer. Like Abraham, when the Lord meets with us, we should stand on yet before the Lord and intercede and pray to Him for others. I ask you this question in closing. Child of God, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? If it's not what it ought to be, or what it should be, or what it once was, maybe the first prayer we need to offer is that the Lord would appear unto us as He appeared unto Abraham in the tent door. That in meeting with us, He will stir us and prompt us and move us to stand yet before the Lord under the tree of Calvary and make intercession and prayers for the righteous, our brethren and sisters, and for the ungodly, that the Lord will spare them and that the Lord will save them. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts, and may He appear to us and meet with us even at this time in our own homes.